We're going to remain in the Old Testament for our text. We'll be looking at scriptures in the New Testament, of course. But we're going to be talking about Isaac blessing his sons. And you know, in the Old Testament, the blessing that the father gave the son was a big deal. It was a big deal. And to be the firstborn son was a big deal. Now, if we go back, we go forward to Jacob when he blesses all 12 of his sons, you see that a lot of those blessings were prophetic for those tribes. And so the blessing held this certain promise or this certain prophetic tone to it. And the blessing that God hears from parent to son, or for us, for our children today, sons and daughters, is just as important today for us to bless our children and to give them prophetic word. But in the Old Testament, in Genesis 27, Isaac sets this standard of blessing. It's recorded very well for us. It's one of the only blessings besides the one that Jacob gives the 12 tribes that's written in the word as far as father to son blessing. We do see that in the book of Proverbs in chapter 4, David gives Solomon part of his blessing. And in 1 Samuel also, as Solomon is getting ready to take the throne, 2 Samuel, excuse me, he takes the throne and David gives him a blessing. But this one here, this blessing is the best blessing. It's a great one to go through. It's a story of intent, but it's also a story of complete and total power when it comes to the blessing that God gives us today. So let's begin reading. Verses 1 through 4 is our text. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word. We pray your blessing upon our time in your word. May it speak to us. May it encourage us. May it remind us of your goodness and your power in our lives. And Father, the way you want to bless us here today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Genesis 27, gives us a hint of what was passed on from generation to generation to generation. It was a custom, a tradition, that as parents, especially the father, as the patriarch of the family, as he began to get old, would say, "You know, I'm not going to be here forever." And we all get to that point sooner or later, and I was like, "You know, I need to pass on some things to the next generation." And if you haven't done that, that's fine. But clearly, sometime in our life, we say it's time for us to invest and to pass on good things to those that are going to be here should Jesus tarry and I depart. Well, Isaac was doing that. And it says in our text that his eyes were so dim he couldn't see. So we know that he was blind. He couldn't see. He had to go by the other senses that he had. And he brings Esau in. He says, "Esau, I want to bless you before I die. I want to prophetically speak into your life for your future." And there was a lot of emphasis on what the parent said that was powerfully important for the son in his future. Let's talk about the Old Testament blessing. It was something to be pursued. It was a key of success for the son and only given to one. Usually the oldest son received the blessing. But let's go back, because Esau was not a son worthy of the blessing. In fact, it tells us in chapter 25 of Genesis that he actually sold his birthright. Let's go through that story quickly. I'll read it for you from verses 27 through 34. So the boys grew. That would be Esau and Jacob. And Esau was a skillful hunter and a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with some of that red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob gave Esau the bread and the stew of lentils. And he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We see a similar story some hundreds of years in the future when Samson with a woman named Delilah. And in their relationship, Delilah kept asking him what the secret of his strength was, and finally she pestered him enough that he told her what the secret to his strength was and despised the gift or the blessing that God gave him. Now we know the story of Samson, how they came, they cut off his hair, and they put him in the mill to grind, and then he ended up killing more Philistines in the end. But the thing that's common between Esau and Samson is that both of them despised the blessing that they had received. Now, the birthright was a blessing. The birthright meant that you get double of the inheritance as the father passed out all of his goods. That's what the birthright meant. You got a double portion from all the other siblings, a better portion. So you were blessed and then blessed again because you got more. Well, Esau came in from the field, and he was so hungry, he said, "I'm going to die because I'm so hungry." I think that was an exaggeration by Esau. But clearly he said, "What good is my birthright if I die?" So he sells his birthright and despises his position as the firstborn. So Jacob seizes that opportunity and says, "How about you sell me what's yours as the firstborn, and I'll give you all that you want to eat." So he rejects his spiritual blessing for physical satisfaction. The same as Samson. Spiritual blessing, physical satisfaction. So in both cases, we see something really important here when it comes to God and to what he wants. He never wants us to take what we've gained from him spiritually and to sacrifice something spiritual or physical for it. To take something spiritual and to sacrifice something physical is a defaming of that thing and despising of that spiritual blessing. So let's go back into chapter 27, our text. You can keep your hand in that. We'll be referring to that through the message today. Chapter 27 in Genesis, verses 34 through 36. We see the culmination of this. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly called Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" What was important about this thing is that the birthright and the blessing were supposed to go hand in hand, and whoever got the birthright got the better blessing. That's the way it was supposed to work. And so for Esau to despise his birthright, and as we follow the story of Jacob and Esau, we find out that that Isaac tells Esau, "Go out and kill some meat for me, make it like I like it, savory, and then bring it back and I'll bless you after I've eaten." Well, Rebekah hears this thing, knows what Jacob has done to steal the birthright, and knows it's Jacob's right for the blessing, as the birthright would tell him. So she says, "Quick, go grab a couple of goats. Let's make them. Let's get them ready, just like your father loves." And then Jacob says, "You know what? I got smooth skin. My brother's a hairy beast. What are we going to do?" So they put goat skin on his arms, and they made him look and feel and smell like Esau, wearing Esau's clothes, having goat skin on his arms, so that when Isaac would see him, he would hear the voice of Jacob, but he would feel and sense Esau in his presence. So Esau rejected and despised not only his birthright, but the blessing that went on with it. Jacob got both. And you hear the desperation in his voice, in Esau's voice in verse 36. He says, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" You know, there will be those in the New Testament who will say, "Lord, Lord, let me in." Jesus will say, "I never knew you." You know, that's a haunting scripture for me. And clearly it's not one to give us less confidence in God or our relationship with God, because there's something important there. And God brought this up just now. It's not my notes, but it's something important for us to talk about when it comes to God's blessing. Once we are saved, once we've asked Jesus to come into our heart, he begins relationship with us. Now it's our job, our part, to maintain fellowship with him. You can have relationship without having fellowship. But you can't have fellowship without having relationship. So let's say that somebody would backslide. Would they still have relationship with God? Absolutely they would, but they'd be out of fellowship with Him, correct? You see what I'm saying? Fellowship broken. So what happens in this thing where they say, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus says. What He's saying there is this. Not everyone who declares that I'm their Lord will enter into heaven. Now, if you follow that little story further, Jesus says, but they say unto Him, did we not cast out demons in Your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Did we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we do all these things? And Jesus said, but I never knew you. The we in there, didn't we do things, it's plural. And the you actually is singular in the Greek. So let's apply it. Let's say that in Friendship Assembly you had a great move of God, and you had people saved, you had people healed, you had all kinds of supernatural things happening in this church, and God be praised for all the wonderful things He did. But you sat in the back, and you said, I'm just going to wait to see what happens. I'll let everybody else be part of this process, and I'll reserve judgment if this is God's will or not, and I'm just going to sit back and just watch it all and be part of the group. That's what Jesus is talking about. There are many people who will do many good things for God, many important things for God, many supernatural things for God, but will you do those same things with them? That's what Jesus is saying when He says, I never knew you. Oh, I knew all the good things that happened in your church. And I know the ones that were doing all those good things in the church and the places that I was honored in their lives, but I never knew you. And I want to bring this onus to you this morning before we go any further. The Lord is after not a relationship with you as much as He is fellowship. If my dad and I had a huge fight, I would still be his son, but I would not be in fellowship. Jesus lives within us. We have a relationship with Him. But Jesus is after fellowship. I want you to be clear this morning with me that we strive for fellowship with God, not just relationship. Not just to say that God's our Father, but to have fellowship with Him every day. Okay? This is really important. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's for somebody here. Maybe it's just for me. But I want you to know that God desires a daily walk of fellowship. Not just relationship. Fellowship. All right. Let's go back to our story. The Bible tells us in Galatians that all blessings come to us because of what Jesus has done. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We get the promise of God, the blessing of God, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can say amen to that. That's a promise. And God holds Himself accountable to His promises in His Word, that Jesus was set forth to be our promise keeper for God, that we have promises that are written to us, that are given to us because of what Jesus has done. And we are blessed because of that through the promise of the Spirit through our faith. These things have been given to us. All the blessings of God have been given to us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I love that scripture. It speaks the foundational truth of our relationship and our fellowship. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 10 actually says, and we are His workmanship, created for good works. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. Created for good works. So we should be doing those things to maintain relationship and the manifestation of God's blessing. So, number one, Old Testament blessing was something to be pursued, something to be sought after, something to attain. You don't have to work at getting the blessing. God gives it to you when you receive Jesus Christ. Bottom line, You get it with Jesus. It comes as a package deal. Okay? Number two, an Old Testament blessing was something that changed the life of the recipient. As I said before, when Jacob prophetically prophesied over or prophetically spoke about each tribe of Israel, it was a prophetic word for each one of them. And so it changed the destiny of each of his 12 sons because of what Jacob prophetically said. And the same thing here. It changed the life of Esau, changed the life of Jacob. Let's jump down to verse number 37 in our text. And Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me. Bless me also, father." And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. Esau spent everything for what he could get that day. Isaac gave everything to Jacob. It was going to change the destiny of Esau and Jacob. It was going to change the way hundreds of years later the children of Esau or Edom, the Edomites, would be in relationship with the Israelites. It's a story that keeps playing out because of something that Esau did. It's amazing how many generations have suffered because of Esau's hunger that day. Amen? The blessing of redemption is ours, and it is a provision of prophetic timing and eternal importance. Did you know that everything that's done prophetically has an eternal importance for us? Yep, let's talk about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Knowing that you are not redeemed," this is verse 18, "not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, through whom believe you, through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." All the things that God did prophetically for us at the foundation of the world through Jesus Christ is for our eternal benefit. It has importance for us in our destiny. If you want your destiny for eternity to be the best it can be, serve Jesus now. Because God promises us that all these things have been provided from the foundation of the world for us because of what Jesus has done. And it's a prophetic promise of destiny for us. Your destiny is assured. I think when I was last here last month, I talked about the destiny of the unbeliever and the destiny of the believer just a little bit in my message. I don't remember if it was last month or one other time. But I said this. Eternity is for both the believer and the unbeliever. The Bible is really clear about that. Our destiny is different. Being an eternal being is given to everybody who draws God's breath. We sang that chorus before, "It's your breath, O Lord, in my lungs." God gives us all breath, whether we believe in him or not. It's the image of God that's created in us. And eternity is the same for the unbeliever as much as those who are believers. It's just the destiny that changes. The destination. It's either eternal life or it's eternal death, and it's our choice. But this eternal life, this blessing from God, this thing he provides for us, is eternal. It has eternal importance. And it was prophetic since the foundation of the world. God spoke into existence this plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Hebrews talks about it as well. But this has all been provided for you and for me. So if we do have fellowship with Jesus, this is ours in our destiny. Amen. Number three, an Old Testament blessing was something that gave value for the future. We talked a little bit about that, but we're going to go a little bit further into that. Let's go back into Genesis 26 through 29. This is the blessing that we skipped over prior, the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob. Then his father Isaac said to him, being Jacob, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." I think that pretty much sums it up. If you're looking for a silver spoon to be given, this was the silver spoon. And Jacob was given every blessing that Isaac could sum up in a short statement. Hey, you've got all the dew of heaven, all the fatness of the land, you've got plenty of grain and wine, you've got mastership over all your siblings and over all nations. And did that prophetically happen? Absolutely it happened. In the children of Israel, as they exited Egypt, as they came to be the people of Israel, they saw the fulfillment of this promise given to Jacob hundreds of years before, as they began to subdue nations, as they began to walk in the fatness of the place that flowed with milk and honey. And as long as they served God, things went really good for them. Why? Because the blessings of God are yes and amen. But I'll tell you something. I read in my Old Testament that Israel wasn't always faithful to God. And there were times that God removed his blessing from them. That in turn, instead of Israel subduing the nations would encroach upon them and take advantage of them and kill them and separate them and take their goods and make life miserable. Then they would cry out, and especially in Judges, we see this story of how good and evil would sway, ebb and flow, and how judges would come and bring correction. And then people would begin to serve God again, and God says, "Good, let's keep this going, I'll bless you now." So clearly for us, we see that this blessing of God has a profound effect for our future. The effect it has is up to us. The blessing of God doesn't change, but its manifestation in our lives is reflecting on how we serve God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians for just a minute. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. This is called the Prayer to the Ephesians by Paul. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I love that, how he compounds these sentences. "Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies," okay? "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved." So what are the blessings that God gives us in this place? Let's talk about the value. Every spiritual blessing, first of all, in the heavenlies. Secondly, he chose us. Thirdly, we should be holy because he chose us. Right? Separate before him and without blame in him, in his love, before him in love. Then he predestined us to adoption. Now, I have not been adopted, but my girls were by Delphine when we got married. And there's something unique about that relationship when one human being chooses another. Many of us are parents here. And we don't get to choose our kids. They're given to us. Am I right, parents? We don't choose our kids. They're given to us. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We're not talking about bad things here. We're talking about good things. But when somebody goes through the adoption process, they see this person for who they are and they say, "I want them. I want them." And it's so crucial for us today as believers to know that God looks at all of our frailties, all of our failures, all of our human nature, and he could just deep breathe a deep sigh and wonder what in the world we're made of. But he says, you know what? I want them. I want them. And I sent Jesus to get them. So when we accept Jesus, what does Paul say? We have been adopted into God's family. God looks at us and all of our failures. He sees the diamond in our life. He says, I want that person. It doesn't matter who we are. People, God loves you with an everlasting love, and it's a pure love without any condemnation, no conditions, no ifs, ands, or buts. He loves you, and he wants relationship. That's what it means to be adopted. I chose them. What else does God give us? We should be to the praise of his glory. We should be the one that God brags about. Have you noticed my son or my daughter? How they serve me. How they love me. Boy, do I love them. You can almost hear God loving the fact that when we please him, when we live lives like Paul said, we aim to have lives pleasing unto God, that God says, yes, that's my son. Yep, that's my daughter. I'm happy with them. I'm pleased with them. And then lastly, in verse number 6, he makes us accepted in the beloved. You know, it's interesting because we're not mentioned in that equation. We're after the equation. We're after the equal sign. We stand as accepted in the beloved because of what Jesus did. We people are accepted. Some people live their whole lives just to be accepted. Maybe you grew up and it was hard to please your parents. Compliments were few and far between, and you didn't feel like you were appreciated or accepted in your family. It's a terrible way for us to grow up, to never feel like we have the acceptance of our parent. And yet, because our parents are human, sometimes that's the case. But let me tell you, our Heavenly Father isn't human. He's not human. And my Bible tells me, and I just told you, that when you have relationship and fellowship with him, you are accepted. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to do your spiritual chores every day. You don't have to obey religiously and have no fault at all. God accepts you in the beloved. That means he accepts you because of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is beloved. John 3:16. For he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believed in him should not perish. Jesus is that beloved Son, the one and only Son of the Father. And we are accepted because of what Jesus has done here. So let's kind of sum up here. The blessings of God. Number one, we should pursue the blessings of God. How do we know the blessings? Well, we see them written in his word. If you lack assurance of the blessings of God, it doesn't take you long to read and you start seeing God's nature to bless those that love him. He starts out with Abram. He says, I will bless those that bless you and I will curse them that curse you, right? And it's Genesis chapter 12. But then we see all through the word how God desires to do good things for those that love him, how he wants to bless them. He blessed the throne of David and Solomon as long as they were faithful to him. He blessed the thrones of the kings of Judah if they were righteous. We see God's nature to always want to bless. And then he sends his son Jesus and he says, this is the best blessing I can give people. I can't give any more than myself. And you and I are blessed today because of what Jesus has done. I want to bring up verse number 3 just for a second here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You'll notice there it doesn't say every physical blessing on earth. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. If I'm going to be blessed this morning, people, I want to be blessed up there. Amen, right? These blessings here are temporal. And they are meaningful for a time. But if I'm not blessed up there, this means nothing to me. And then when I know that I'm blessed up here, this still doesn't mean anything to me. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? So I want you to go home this morning realizing that these blessings have been given to you, and that as you invest in your children, those that have young children, you're blessing them with knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, I want to read to you just a little bit of that, just for a second here before we get ready to close. Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon, of course, wrote the Proverbs. He was the son of David, king of Israel. And I want you to listen to the first words of this chapter. Hear, my children, Solomon's children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Verse 2, do not forsake my law. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, that means talking when David was his father and he was his son, tender and only in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your hearts retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will keep you. Oh, she will preserve you. Love her. She will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. That's pretty good. That's what Solomon remembered that David told him when he was young. And in today's world, it's more the exception than the rule that people bless their children. But I'll tell you, your children will carry on for you what you begin here on earth. And should Jesus tarry, they will be the ones that reflect what kind of person you were. And sometimes we see that sometimes a little bit too late, but I want that to hit home today. And it doesn't mean that if your children are grown and you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, that you're done investing. No, continue to invest in those that are young. Continue to give good things to those that are in your power to bless. Bless and do not curse. Bless. Why? Because God has blessed you. Amen? So you're ready to close. I want to bring up just one more Old Testament scripture. It's in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And you'll recall this as we begin to read it. You've probably heard it often in your life. But I want to let you know that it wasn't a contrivance of man. It's written in the Word of God. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I give that blessing to you folks today. May the Lord bless you and keep you today. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you today. May the Lord lift up your countenance and may the Lord give you his peace. And all God's children just stood up. We're going to close our service. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your house, your time in your word, for the blessing that we have from you. God, I pray that we would use it for your glory. And that we would remind ourselves often of your love and your blessing and your promise to us that is yes and amen. And we praise you, God, for it. Send us home with your blessing and your grace. Bring us back to the house of God again. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Lord bless you all. Have a great Sunday.